Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Lauren Sherman, the writer behind Puck's Fashion and Beauty Memo line sheet. And I'd like to welcome you to my new show, Fashion People. On every episode of Fashion People, I'll be talking to insiders about the stuff we're all whispering between the press releases. From M&A rumors to celebrity stylist dish to the future of legacy media. Be sure to follow and listen to Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in my childhood bedroom in my parents' house, far, far away from my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Matt. I'm just here in my living room missing your stupid face.
Oh, you get my face at least.
I know, but it's just, I haven't seen you.
But it's my body
you.
That you're missing.
Yeah, yes, that is it. Matt Bellassai, I miss your body.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. I get that from all of the ladies. Anyway, yeah, I've done the least amount of movement a human could do and still be considered technically alive. That has been my last week and a half. Honestly, my only outings are the grocery store. And I went this morning. You really grabbed my gears this morning.
What happened?
Now all of my complaints are going to be extremely suburban. I went to the grocery store, the Mariano's.
I know Mariano's. There's a Mariano's right by my parents' house. That's where they shop.
Yeah. And when I was here last year, I got one of those store cards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you like check out, you get all the discounts. And I didn't have it in my pocket, but I also never registered it to a phone number or anything. So I couldn't use it at checkout. And I was in self-checkout. So usually in my day, if you forgot your card, the nice person at the cash register would just be like, oh, don't worry, I got you. And they
just swipe it.
And so because I was in self-checkout, there was nobody there. And so I hit the help button and summoned this woman. And I was like, oh, I forgot my card, but also I don't think my number is attached to it to put it in. And she was like, sorry. She would not scan anything. And I definitely did that thing where I was like, ooh, these are on sale. I'm going to get like 10 of them. And then I just paid full price for 10 of them.
Oh my God. 10 of what? What did you buy?
Butter. It was like a big, I feel like such a Midwestern housewife.
Yeah,
when I complain
about
this.
You have evolved in the Pokemon suburban housewife level.
Anyway, so I'm doing great. My brain has just been stimulated to the fullest extent and I'm ready to record.
Fantastic.
How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving, it was pretty boring. I made 3 pies. I ended up just going all out. I made brown butter, honey pecan. I made pumpkin pie from an actual pumpkin and I made apple pie. All 3 were a huge hit. I was really pleased with myself. So yeah, I'd say that was pretty great.
I made an apple pie today. I made pumpkin pie for Thanksgiving. And then I made like pecan pie bars.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're so good. They are infamous because the recipe, you may have seen a screenshot of it. The first line of the recipe is shortly after the attacks of September 11th, 2001. That is the first line of this recipe. And it gets into like how comforting certain foods
these pecan
and like
bars, they in fact did heal a nation.
But it is like the perfect encapsulation of the phenomenon of like, just give me the fucking recipe and stop with the we don't need an entire backstory on the history of terrorism in America. Anyway, well, before we get into the rest of the episode, this is our second to last episode of the year, of the season.
Penultimate. Where are we?
I don't know what language that was. It just feels like a word that should like kind of roll off the tongue.
Uh-huh. And then you somehow made it like hit a bunch of boulders on the way down.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we're coming up on the end of the year. We'll try to fill the rest of the year with some fun stuff on Instagram and Patreon and all of that. But in the meantime, this will be our second to last official feed episode of the year. So what's coming up today? We're going to kick things off as always with Worst Things First, where I shout about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into the last rant hotline of 2021. And finally, we've got writer and comedian Allison Leiby on the pod as our guest complainer. We bitch about hot movers, ketchup, horror movies, so much more. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, worst things first. Let's chat about the stupidest, most ridiculous, worst news of the week. First, starting off hot with a correction.
Oh, no.
Last week, you may recall, we covered the story about a dog named Gunther, who is selling a mansion that allegedly was once owned by Madonna. He comes from this long line of German shepherds that apparently got an inheritance from a German countess.
I remember him well.
Yeah. Well, the Associated Press, which I believed was a trustworthy institution, and I put all of my faith in every single week when I steal my stories.
You're telling me that you don't go ahead and find second references for each and every Worst Things First story?
Shockingly, for this shitty podcast, no, I don't. I don't check the Associated Press. I just copy and paste and trust that they're telling the truth and that I can make jokes about it. Okay, is that good enough for you? Is that good enough for this podcast? No, apparently not. So the Associated Press had to issue this humiliating correction where they were like, it wasn't even a correction. They were like, we're replacing this entire story with a new story about how the story of Gunther is a long-running publicity stunt.
What?
Used by this guy to dupe reporters, and they fell for it. The wow. Associated Press.
So they're not doing much fact-checking on their part.
If you can't trust the people that you copy and paste from, who can you trust?
You're telling me they didn't go and try to interview Gunther and get a direct line to this dog? And asked, sir, are you a good boy?
Sure. Yeah. They should have stuck a microphone directly into his snout.
Yeah.
And said, I demand answers. Anyway, according to the AP, the story appears to be a ruse created by a man named Maurizio Mion, who honestly can't trust that name more.
No.
If I heard, this man comes up to me and he introduced himself as Maurizio Mion, I'm trusting every word that comes out of his mouth.
I'm just handing him my social security card.
Exactly. I trust you with these 9 digits more than anything in my life. So he's the scion of this Italian pharmaceutical company. Oh, I want to get all of my pharmaceuticals from an Italian. A Tylenol, you know? I would like the Pfizer. So this guy, he is, yeah, a descendant of this rich Italian pharmaceutical family who apparently uses the story of this dog as a descendant of this German countess as a stunt to promote real estate sales and other projects. So this corporation that sells and buys property exists. It's called the Gunther Corporation. And I mean, here's the thing. Basically, it's like a joke that the dog is on the like records.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, okay, I mean, it was a joke to begin with. Like, even when we believe this story to be 100% true, it's like, yeah, it's obviously it's a joke. I don't think this dog is sitting in business meetings signing documents. Like, obviously it's a joke. The Associated Press was so offended that they got duped even a little bit that they were like, no, we're exposing this man. The most damning thing is that it says the AP reported on the story after receiving a press release from publicists representing the real estate agents, which is like, that is an activity that like people that I worked with would do at a website that did not have the journalistic integrity at the time that the Associated Press has.
Right.
Where you just get a press release and then just kind of post it verbatim without really diving into it.
Yeah.
And again, this is a story about a dog selling a house. So like maybe they're taking it a little too seriously, but still, apparently this man has like been open about how this is not like real. He told an Italian newspaper in 1995 that the Countess was just an invention to publicize the philosophies of his foundation. Although at other times, this guy has said actually his confessions about the Countess, that's the hoax, and that the dog stories are real. Again, Do we trust Maurizio Mion or not? That's really what it comes down to. Here's the other crux, is that the company said they couldn't answer questions. This representative of the company, the person who is allegedly Gunther's, the dog's handler, who is a former like lover of Maurizio, she is like the spokesperson for the company and said that she couldn't answer further questions, including anything about the story of the German Countess, because, quote, there is an exclusive contract with a Netflix production.
Yes, absolutely. Good. That is what I wanted.
All I'm saying is that if there is a companion podcast to this Netflix production, you know who to look for.
We're available.
Anyway, shout out to this man, because he duped two journalistic powerhouses, the Associated Press and Unhappy Hour. Next, a woman on a recent Delta Airlines flight allegedly began to breastfeed her pet cat mid-flight and refused to stop after being caught.
I will say I did hear this on NPR, so...
Good. So they're covering it in all the right places.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this bears repeating. I think it does.
I think it does.
A woman was breastfeeding her cat, okay? And I don't think, from what I understand about mammary glands, uh-huh. You're not just producing milk constantly.
No, you have to be practicing that.
Right. It's like your body knows when it needs it.
Uh-huh.
And that is usually when you have a baby.
Uh-huh.
Which is why in olden times, they would just have like an old woman that they kept constantly pregnant so that
nurse.
They could milk her. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so this incident allegedly happened during a flight from Syracuse, New York to Atlanta. And it comes from this image that was posted on Twitter or somewhere that suggested it was a picture of a message that was sent using aircraft communications systems.
So and this got said, to the pilot.
Yeah, basically they were like sending out some type of distress signal, I guess. And the message said that a woman or a passenger in seat 13A is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in carrier in response to a request from a flight attendant. The message asks that the situation be addressed by the airline's red coat team upon landing, who I guess are an elite airport customer service expert who are especially trained to handle on-the-stop customer issues. That would be the day that I quit. If someone was like, yeah, we got a fucking woman who's breastfeeding her cat. Make sure you're at the gate so you can take her. I'd be like, you know what? Someone else do it. But not today. I don't want to.
That sounds like the best day of my life. There's like that job every day. Something different is happening. And today you've got some titty milk for a cat. Some titty kitty milk.
Here's the thing. I'll go on the record with this. Controversial. Tell me what's wrong with this.
Here are the facts. Cats love milk.
Yeah.
This lady had some milk in her.
Right.
Those are the facts. What, are you just going to waste the milk? What's the phrase? The phrase is don't cry over spilt milk. Never mind. That doesn't work.
Yeah, we don't even have to apply that because no milk was spilled.
Yeah.
It went right into the cat's mouth.
Exactly.
From the source.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I would like everyone to have a long, hard think about why this bothers you. Okay, look inward. I stare into the mirror and ask yourself, what bothers me about this?
Is it thinking about their tiny, tiny sharp teeth?
I mean, yeah, she is putting herself in danger. As someone who doesn't even like to like touch a cat for fear of losing, I don't know, something vital. It's scratching some type of
artery.
Like artery. Yeah, and me bleeding out everywhere. The idea of putting a cat's mouth anywhere near my sensitive nipple So basically, no one's been able to like independently verify this story. Okay. But this flight attendant on TikTok also said that there was security that had to meet a flight because a woman was allegedly breastfeeding her cat. So who knows? Who knows?
Do we know anything about the cat? Like what kind of cat?
The cat was a hairless cat. It was swaddled in a blanket, so it looked like a baby.
Now I officially actually hate this.
Her shirt was up and she was trying to get the cat to latch and she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier. And the cat was screaming for its life, according to. Okay, this went bad. I take it back. If the cat is screaming in distress, then you should stop. And finally, a group of people at a pub in the UK have been trapped indoors by snow for several days, and the only thing they have to entertain them is an Oasis cover band called Noasis.
That is, in fact, a Noasis. It is no Oasis, I'll tell you that.
They've just been stuck singing Wonderwall for 3 straight days.
That is hell.
So apparently 61 people got trapped in the Tanhill Inn in the Yorkshire Dales as a result of heavy snowfall during a storm. But now people are like, we don't want to leave. They've been having so much fun. This is also a 17th century hotel that they're trapped in, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, for all the hotels to be trapped in, I feel like that one makes sense. Like, I feel like those were built to be trapped in, you know?
Yeah, because people died when they were like 18 for this very reason. The 17th century is like when people, they were like, oh, there's a snowstorm. I guess half of us will die tonight. But yeah, now the guests are like, we don't even want to leave. We've been having so much fun. They've been sleeping on makeshift beds, mattresses on the floor. Someone had like a projector. They've been having a quiz night, doing buffets.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, the only entertainment was an Oasis tribute band called Noasis that has been providing musical entertainment because the musicians were scheduled to perform at the pub that week. And so they got trapped with everybody else. And they're like, guess what, everybody? You're having an Oasis concert every night. And it's like, name an Oasis song that's not Wonderwall. You can't.
I can't. It's impossible.
But yeah, they're all friends with Wonderwall. This is basically the plot of Come From Away, except instead of 9/11, it's a snowstorm that trapped people with an Oasis. Yeah, and on Saturday, I think they're all out now. Guests thanked these 7 members of staff stuck inside by presenting them with a jar filled with around £300 in cash.
Not enough.
I gotta be honest. Not enough at all. 300 pounds for 7 people. Thanks for nothing, I guess.
I'm surprised they didn't just
$45 bucks.
I'm surprised they didn't like start a GoFundMe for these guys. Whatever. They're probably about to get booked so much.
I hope so. I'll write the next great musical about this.
Yeah, I would watch it.
And guess what? All Oasis songs. It's a jukebox musical.
Hell yeah.
This is Mamma Mia meets Come From Away. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. If you want even more, you can head to my Patreon, patreon.com/MattBellassai, where you can see video of bonus stories. You can get a special separate podcast feed that's basically bonus episodes that show up right in your podcast app. Head to my Patreon, patreon.com/MattBellassai. Next, we're diving deep into all the shit you've been complaining about on our rant hotline. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. All right, well, it's one of our favorite times. It's Rant Hotline time.
Boop, boop, boop.
If you forgot, Rant Hotline is our state-of-the-art hotline where you, the listener, can call in with your complaints, all of the shit that you hate, and we can complain along with you. I want to hear what you have to say. So we picked some of our faves this week. And yeah, should we get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
You've reached the voicemail box of Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate. So why don't you leave us your rant after the beep?
Okay, I live in Washington, It is 57 fucking degrees outside at 9 a.m. And there is always, always one asshole wearing shorts. This is not short weather. It's never short weather. We're in fucking Washington. Put on some fucking pants!
Oh, God. Could not agree more.
I have conflicting feelings about this.
Really?
On the one hand, I'm like, yeah. Because usually the perpetrator is some dusty fucking straight man who has the grossest pair of basketball shorts you've ever seen.
It's always basketball shorts.
Right. And I don't support that. That being said, if I'm attracted to a person, then I'll allow it. I will also say 57 degrees is...
Yeah, that part, that right there.
And at 9 in the morning, where the expectation is that it would get warmer.
Gonna get warmer.
I don't know. I might be on the fence on this one. But that being said, anything lower than that, anything I think 50 and below, is like, grow up. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to worry you don't actually own pants.
Yeah. And we're both from the Chicago suburbs. And I'm pretty sure we both have like that one person in high school. I could say his name, but I won't because we're family friends. Who like he would wear shorts every day of the winter. And the winter in Chicago gets actually below zero.
Yeah.
And that boy, I'm using boy because at the time he was a teenager, wore shorts every single day of the winter. And it's like you're just doing that to prove something, but like what? That you have thick skin or hairy legs?
It's yeah, I don't understand what you're trying to prove. It's not comfortable. You know it's not comfortable. Just stop it.
It just shows that you have poor circulation and maybe need to see a doctor.
Unless you have really good legs, in which case let me see them. Next.
Good morning, Matt. Good morning, Barry. It is 5:30 in the morning. And what the fuck am I doing? I'm arguing with fucking glasses. Glasses. Fucking glasses. We have the technology to make fucking anti-glare and special fucking this, special fucking that with the goddamn lenses. But can we make lenses that are easy to fucking clean? Lenses that when I fucking try to clean it even with a fucking towel, all it does is just smear whatever that shit is around, and now I have a circular fucking smear on my lens. And then I clean it again. And again, and then 10 more times, and it's still smeared. What the actual fuck? It is too early for this fucking shit. Glasses.
Oh, I feel this so yes. Deep in my bones.
Same. This is my internal monologue on more occasions than not. Almost 6 days a week. I take the last day off.
Also the fact that you only are allowed to use one extremely specific type of cloth. And like, if you use any other cloth, like you're going to be scratching every single part of it. It's like glasses are a pretty early on invention. You know, I feel like we've come a long way, as she was pointing out. We have anti-glare, things like that. Like, why hasn't this evolved?
Yeah, Ben Franklin. You went and invented a fucking bifocal. Couldn't invent a cloth that could clean my glasses. Yeah, there's no reason why you need this very specific cloth. I am the worst at taking care of my glasses. There are definitely times, I've definitely done that thing where I take off my glasses and been like, how was I even seeing out of these? They're basically fully opaque. But also, yeah, I'll like drop a Kleenex in like sand and then pick it up and just rub it all over my glasses. I don't care at all. It's whatever cloth will get it out. But then you find that one cloth that actually works,
mm-hmm.
and you have to hang on to that. Like it's a precious artifact.
Because it is.
The one that I have that definitely has like a mustard stain on it. And I'm like, I have to keep it. I can't.
It's a family heirloom at this point.
I'm basically just rubbing mustard on my glasses every time because that's the only option for getting them clean.
Yeah.
I did treat myself and buy, I bought like a kit on the internet that of like spray and wipes. And it does make a difference.
It really does. And I use it like every other day. But then I'm like, am I going to be the person who like travels with glasses cleaning spray? Like, come on. I'm already a nerd enough. Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm going to.
Yeah, I did that. And then it all spilled out. It like a bunch of it leaked out onto my mask. And then I put my mask on and I was like, I'm like roofing myself, right? Like whatever they do where they like put stuff on a napkin and then shove it in your face so that you pass out. That's what I was doing to myself.
That's hot.
I know. Anyway, next complaint.
Hi, Matt and Barry. Love the show. It is getting me through this hell of quarantine.
Thank you.
Just wanted to call in and rant about something that I hate that everyone else seems to love, and that is cake pops. You know, we're getting like around the holiday season, so people are making them all cute, and they look cute. So my brain always wants them, but then when I put them in my mouth, there's like this waxy coating and the inside is like wet and moist and like Play-Doh-y, and they just taste like shit. And I don't understand why people love them. They look beautiful. They look cute. They taste disgusting. That's it. I don't understand it. Okay. Bye.
Hard agree on this one.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Hard agree. Okay. Do you want a history of cake pops?
Yeah, please break it down for us.
Basically, cake pops, I believe, were like invented because bakeries often have so many cake scraps that they use when they are shaping cakes.
Right.
And so they just put that cake into a blender with a bunch of buttercream and then like mix it all together, mash it up.
Wow.
Until it's like a paste that they then roll into a ball and dip in candy coating. So it's literally leftovers.
Yeah, it's dumpster cake.
You're chasing after the queen of all leftovers in this situation, which is the donut hole. Okay, we already perfected this idea. You cut out the hole and then, yeah, you have a delicious mini little donut. That's not what cake pops are. Okay, you ruined it. You ruined it.
No.
This is what's left over when a baby has a birthday cake that they smash into smithereens. That's what you're eating in a cake pop. And yeah, the coating is like never good. It's always a weird wax.
Right.
I'm a firm believer. It gets me incensed. Nothing on a plate should be inedible. There should be nothing that I have to take off of my plate because I can't eat it. And I'm including the dish.
Also, everything that is edible should taste good.
Yeah. There's always like fondant that you put around cake. Everyone's always like, yeah, we don't like the taste of it, but it just like looks good. And it's like, well, why don't you just use plastic in that? Like, if you know you're not going to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck cake pops. But they are cute. I agree. All right. One more last rant from the Rant Hotline 2021. Let's hit it.
Hello, Matt and Barry. I've been trying to think of the best way to word this, and I think I finally got it. It's that drugs are not a personality. Like, we all know weed bros, right? Like, guys that, like, oh, man, weed is, like, the best. Like, it comes out to earth, and they've got, like, the marijuana cap, you know, or marijuana socks or whatever, and they're not, like, you know, like, Matt, who are, like... Once in a while, you'll mention, oh, I smoke some weed. And you're like, yeah, I smoke weed. It makes me feel good. These are the guys that are like, oh, like I'm so much funnier when I smoke weed. And like, I just see things so much more clearly. And it's like, no, you fucking don't, man. Like, you're not funny when you're not stoned. And you're not funny when you are stoned. Funny people are funny no matter what. Don't just be like drugs are the answer to everything. So like, get something else in your life. There, I got that off my chest. Bye.
I did think that this was an absolute drag of us.
I know, me
to
too.
Start.
I was like, wow, coming in hot against me personally. But thank you for the clarification that it was not a direct attack. Just a side blow.
Like, we might talk about it, but we certainly don't like wear it physically on our bodies. Like that is a part of weed culture that I do not participate in.
Right, right.
And it is usually annoying when it is people who are doing that. And it's just like, they're constantly in a cloud of smoke and it's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, because also it's like, it's not even cool anymore.
It's just legal.
It's like, my mom does it. So it's like, yeah, what do you even, I agree. It's not a personality anymore. It may be at some point you could kind of make that your personality, but now it's like, yeah.
Once they start selling like little weed earrings at Claire's, it's like, okay, calm down.
Right. Yeah. That is the perfect measure. Yeah. This is unrelated, but kind of related. And that is when people are high and texting me and I can't tell. And it's only later that I'm like, they were definitely high when they said that because it didn't make any sense.
Is this, are you now dragging me?
Sometimes.
Do you, well, would you prefer that someone starts by being like, hello, I am intoxicated and then continue the conversation?
Well, I don't know if it's always, it's different than being drunk. Cause I do think when you're like drunk texting, like, you know that you're drunk texting.
Yeah.
You're aware of it. Usually the other person is probably quickly picks up on it. But high texting is like, you don't always know. And then the other person does it. And I'm like, oh, that's why. I don't know. There's been so many texts with people recently where I'm like, what you're saying doesn't make any sense to me. Or they'll say something about like something that I've answered already and they ask it again. And I'm like, we've been over this. What the fuck is wrong with you? And then I'm like, oh, right. They're probably absolutely baked. Anyway, that was an unrelated tangent, but
I'd say it's related.
It's been on my mind. And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we got Allison Leiby on the pod right after this commercial break.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I want to tell you about a podcast I think you're going to love.
Who Weekly is a podcast about everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't.
Does celebrity news stress you out?
Are there too many people you've literally never heard of?
Check out Who Weekly, a podcast hosted by Lindsay Weber and me, Bobby Finger.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest Whoelebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we'll answer the most burning listener queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever else you get your podcasts.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now, I'm coming back as a judge and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully, no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
My guest complainer today is a comedian and screenwriter. She's written for shows like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, The President Show, many others. You've seen her comedy on Comedy Central, her writing in the New York Times, New York Magazine, Vice, so many other places. She's also the co-host of the podcast Ruined. Welcome, Allison Leiby.
Hello.
It is Leiby, right?
Thank you for having me. Yes, it's Leiby. You nailed it.
The whole time looking at your name, I'm like, I'm not going to say Leiby. I'm not going to say it.
It's so hard. And I'm like, my name gets said to me so many times between like being on podcasts and then like doing stand up when people introduce you or whatever. And I just like, I don't even like listen anymore. I'm like, whatever. They're going to know.
Right.
Like, it's fine.
I'm the same way. Sometimes I'll say my own last name so many times to the point where I'm like, am I even saying it right? Have I been saying it wrong this whole time?
Yes. And then I don't want to like do the thing like, which sometimes I do where I'll be like, oh, it's so nice to meet you. I'm Allison Leiby. Like I'll say it a bunch of times. Like if somebody has to introduce me just so they've heard it. And like, I feel like when I do that is when people absolutely will say it the wrong way when it's like time to do it. So I'm just like, whatever, man.
The more you have to think about it, the farther away from it that you're getting.
Yeah. I like was just doing a show this weekend and like I didn't know the host and I was like, it's Leiby. And he was like, okay, great. Thank you so much for saying that. And then like 10 minutes later, he was like, Allison Leiby. And I'm like, but I've like done that to people too. So I'm just like, it's not his fault, but it is just like our brains are not quite functioning all the time anymore.
Yeah. But anyway, so we like to get our complaining juices going by answering the question, what is something that you hate that everybody else loves?
I am one of the small group of people that hates ketchup. I hate it. It's just, I know, everybody's always, and I feel like it's so polarizing to not like it that like people are immediately just like, I don't understand. Like, and like ketchup is like actually like made to be liked by everybody. Like something about its chemistry in our mouths is like, it's like, it hits all of the kinds of taste buds that you need and like all this stuff. And like, I just, I don't like it.
That is, yeah, that is truly a shocking, a shocking item. I don't think I've ever heard that before. So you got the unique item award.
There we go.
But also, yeah, it is the like one condiment that you can sort of trust. You can order it for the table and everyone will dip something in it.
And like getting fries or onion rings for the table is like, that's such a shareable food. And everybody just assumes like, let's just dump a bunch of ketchup. And like, there is no bigger moment of panic in my life than like when I'm sitting with a bunch of people who I don't know that well. Like my best friends know, like, I don't like ketchup. And like, if they want it, they put it on a plate. And like, and if we're sharing fries or whatever.
Right.
But like with people who don't know me, like you can see like as soon as the fries arrive, they like reach for the ketchup and you have to be like, I don't like it. Don't douse them in it. Like, and it's so like, I'm not a picky eater in almost any other like way. I truly am. Like, I'll try anything. I like most things. Like there's nothing else I really like can't have on a plate, but ketchup is one that just doesn't work for me.
I will say as a defender of ketchup, that I am also opposed to dousing French fries in ketchup. I think that is a heinous way of presenting fries.
It's like they get cold and wet immediately, I think.
Yeah.
Like you, the beauty of a fry is it's like hot and crunchy and like warm. Like
right.
Putting a cold gel liquid on it is like gonna ruin that.
Yeah. I mean, being able to dip and apply your ideal amount of condiment to your particular fry, that is your right.
Yes. Yes. Everything should be kind of like a la carte when it comes to fries. Like leave them pure for anybody who wants them that way. And then like you can add whatever you want on your plate.
That same logic, even though it is the exact same kind of, you know, practice or action, but applied to salad is unfathomable to me.
No, that's an insane.
I cannot get behind the dipping of the individual leaf.
If I was at a restaurant or at someone's home and they were like, here's a big bowl of lettuce and here's some vegetables in another bowl. And then like, everybody can just like dress it on, like even dressing it on my plate, I'd be like, this is annoying. Dress the whole thing. Like shake it, like get it like nice and equally dressed and like mix it up. And then I want to take some.
That's true. I'm so used to it now. Like you go to a restaurant and get a salad and it's all kind of mixed in.
Yes.
But like, yeah, when we had salads, like a side salad at the family dinner table, you just kind of squirt dressing on top and you'd have one leaf that was just an entire puddle of ranch dressing.
Yes. And the rest of it's like dry. And then like you're on like, it's on like a small salad plate that you're trying to just kind of like mix everything together with your fork. And then like, it's just like, dining at home is not quite caught up with restaurant dining.
No. Yeah. Nobody is doing it like restaurants. This is why we spend hundreds of dollars to eat out.
So many hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. So I mean, I was watching some of your clips out there and I know you've, covered the expense of eating out and how we just sort of accept it.
Yeah. It is expensive to do, but like there's nothing I can do at home that's going to compare to like a really wonderful restaurant dinner. Like it's just not there.
Right. No, I am a member of the like order three meals a day club. I have totally done this more times than I care to admit, but truly there's no like greater luxury, I think, than ordering breakfast to be delivered from a restaurant.
Yes. Yes.
Rarely travels well. Almost is always bad.
Eggs do not travel. Like pancakes and waffles don't travel. Like they just across the board, there's not like what does is like bagels and cream cheese on lox. Like that you can be good unless it's summer.
Also true. Yeah. Basically the conditions have to be perfect.
Yeah. I will say that I also do believe that like eating breakfast in a restaurant, not brunch, but like actual breakfast in a restaurant is also like the height of luxury.
That is true. There is something about like someone else making scrambled eggs, even though it is theoretically like the easiest possible thing to make.
Yes.
Someone else making it is.
And to like sit and have your, like, to have breakfast not be something that you, like, consume while commuting or, like, at a desk or, like, in a, like, just, like, truly funneling cereal into your mouth before you run out the door or, like, get onto a Zoom. Like, to be able to sit and, like, read the paper and, like, have a coffee and maybe get a juice. Like, that is so luxurious to me.
Yeah, I know. I forget that. That is the one thing that I do think I love that everybody else seems to hate is eating breakfast. Like, I have a full breakfast every day.
Me too.
I, like, sit down. I enjoy my breakfast. Yeah, and when I hear people are just like, no, I have, like, half a granola bar while I'm squeezed onto the subway, I'm like, no, this is not breakfast.
I think, like, my ideal way to eat is to have, like, a big, like, real breakfast. So, like, get some protein, like, get some carbs, get something tasty, like, get some juice, have a lot of coffee, like, and then to, like, snack twice for lunch, like, to have, like, an early, like, have, like, a pre-lunch and a post-lunch, but not, like, a proper lunch. And then have, like, a real dinner. Like, that to me is, like, I'll graze all day on, like, little, like, bits of, like, some nuts and some celery and, like, a piece of turkey or whatever. But, like, and then have, like, you know, like, a big dinner with, like, lots of stuff. But, like, a breakfast. I'd rather have a big breakfast than lunch.
Yeah. No, I generally agree. Except my like, two lunch snacks are usually, like, two mini lunches really. Sure. Yeah. But I've gotten very into Trader Joe's. It's, you know, the most, like, basic thing that you could discover. Everybody's known about Trader Joe's, but I've been recently enlightened, and there's so many things that I'm like, yeah, I can throw this burrito bowl into the microwave. Yes. That's lunch number
and
one.
That's a real lunch. Yeah. And also, like, Trader Joe's is, like, a tricky one for me because I'm like, if you don't live near one, like, I'm never going to travel to go to a Trader Joe's. Like, I'm when it was only on, like, at Union Square, I was like, I'm never going to go grocery shopping at Union Square if that's not the neighborhood I live in. Like, that's insane. But now they're in every neighborhood. So, like, everybody has their local Trader Joe's. And then it's like, oh, well, yeah, I'll stop here.
Yeah. Yeah. There is such a weird energy in Trader Joe's, though, even though I'm like, I can get behind almost all of the products, but, like, I don't know, everybody in there, it just, like, there's kind of a chaotic energy. Everybody is either in your way or, like, or the hottest person I've ever seen. That is the other problem.
I would say that of all of the grocery stores, Whole Foods might compete, but Trader Joe's has the most couples in it. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's like, that's like, it's a lot of, like, newer or younger, because, like, Trader Joe's, I attract, like, a younger, like, slightly hipper, but, like, definitely, like, younger crowd. Older people or people who have been in relationships forever are like, I don't need you to come with me. Like, but, like, when you're, like, 6 months in or, like, we just moved in together, let's go do grocery shop. Like, everybody's, like, doing it together. And I'm like, you don't need both of you. Like, before the pandemic, I would have been like, single shoppers only.
Yeah, that was honestly why I avoided Trader Joe's for so long, because every time I passed one, there was, like, a line to get in.
I'm not waiting.
Yeah, there's no grocery store worth a wait.
I don't think there's anything that I would wait. Like, I was like, I'll wait to get my COVID vaccine, and, like, I'll wait to get, like, I'll wait 10 or 15 minutes for a table. But, like, I'm not gonna, like, I'm not waiting online to, like, buy groceries.
Yeah, I heard you. I mean, as part of your set on Comedy Central, you were talking about living in a studio apartment. Is that still the case?
No, I that was a little old of a joke, but I now live in a one bedroom, and it feels just
congratulations,
like, you know, the most luxurious situation. Yeah, like, to be able to close a door is just really satisfying.
The idea that there's not just a room that you could see from any point where you're wherever you're standing. Yeah.
And then I, like, go home and visit, like, people I know from growing up, and I, like, walk into their, like, six bedroom homes, and I'm like, how do you live like this? Like, to me, I'm like, this is crazy. Like, this is too much space. Like, why would you ever live here? And they're probably like, you live like a rat that they're doing science experiments on. I don't know what I would do with more space. Like, I truly don't want to, like, cleaning this is a nightmare. Like, and it's so easy.
The idea of cleaning even, like, one small space is debilitating to me.
Yes.
But yeah, the other problem with having a little more space, again, this is like, oh, you know, the problems of the 1% in New York is, oh, I have an extra room. But, like, Yeah, then you just fill it with shit. And then now I just have shit that I'm going to have to have with me. Yeah.
Right. So now when you move, you're like, well, I need to move somewhere that has enough space for all of the stuff I've accumulated to fill this larger space that I bought for myself. Like,
yeah.
Like, it just like, it's a cycle of like consumption and then like having too much stuff. And then like, you have to spend money to get rid of stuff. Like, you can't even like, you know, you need like 1-800-JUNK to come like get like a couple of things because you're like, I don't need this anymore. And it's like, but you have to pay them. And I'm like, this is, yeah. Why am I spending money to have less stuff?
Exactly.
It's so crazy.
I also used one of those, I forget the exact name of it, but it's something like, you know, college guys moving cubes.
Oh, I've used college educated movers.
Yeah.
The hottest man I have ever seen in my entire life was a mover that I had from that service. And I had recommended the company to my friend. My best friend used the service and she like texted me. She was like, I don't know how to act in front of the man that's moving my stuff. Like, she was like, I don't know how to explain. He's not even like our type, but he's everyone's type. And she like,
right.
He had like a Tom Hardy. And like, she was like, I wish you could see him. Like, he's so nice. He's so hot. He has like these sparkly blue eyes that now I've seen them. They look like diamonds. Mm-hmm. So she had him. And then I had to move again. And I hired them again, being like, I wonder if I'll get Rick. Like, that would be cool. Like, maybe. And like, Rick is like legendary to us now. And
yeah.
Then I did get Rick. And like, he moved me and I was like, he is the hottest man I've ever seen. And then like, our friend tried to hire him. They were like, Rick doesn't work with the company anymore. And we were all like, no, what happened to Rick?
First of all, I would have had Rick's like Instagram handle, home address, MySpace profile. I had his phone number,
but then like, I didn't have a last name. They didn't provide one because I think they don't want people like stalking the shit out of everybody who like works for them. And then like, we kept trying to like find him, but she and I got drunk one night and we're like, let's just text him. Like, we know he lives in Greenpoint. Like, let's see what happens. And he was like very nice, but also like, no. We were like, right, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So you shot your shot.
Yeah. I'm glad we did.
That was my beef. And when I hired whatever company that was, is like, the movers weren't even that hot. I'm like, I'm paying $600 for you to take my, you know, perfectly fine furniture and you're not even hot.
Yeah. This is, at least let me see like some nice arms.
Yeah. At the very least, service you should be providing for the money I'm paying.
Yes. If I have to watch you walk in and out of my home with all of my stuff, like, can it at least be enjoyable to watch?
Yeah. Anyway, some other things that I've seen you talk about and tweet about. Oh, one is having allergies in experiencing fall in New York City.
Yeah. I've been like wanting to go because like my allergies were so bad. I was like, maybe I should just go get like a checkup just to be like, what's going on? Does everything look okay? And like, I was like, I don't know how I would even articulate how I feel anymore. Like, bad? I feel bad. Is bad something?
I mean, I don't know if you feel this way, but like, as someone who ostensibly writes and does stuff, I'm talking about myself, I'm like, I should be able to have the vocabulary to describe myself.
Absolutely.
And yet, at a loss for words.
Yeah, I'd have to string together 100 words that don't make sense together or just say bad. Those are like the two options for how I could like self-diagnose to a doctor. They'd be like, stop it. This doesn't make any sense. And I'd be like, what? I don't know.
The other problem I have, and I'm not trotting any new ground here, but health insurance is the most baffling thing to me. I always think like, oh, I know I have it. And so, you know, if anything happens, I'll be fine. And then when I actually have to go to the doctor and like apply what should be my insurance to things, I'm like, oh, this doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything. It's super complicated. And it's also different everywhere you go, even if you're going to people who take your insurance.
Yeah.
Like, there's just there's no rhyme or reason to like why sometimes I have to pay a copay and sometimes I don't. And like, sometimes I get a bill and sometimes I don't. And like, I'm sure there is like a very complicated reason for that. That is absolutely set up by a system that is trying to confuse and bankrupt American citizens. But like, it is like, you are just like, I just had a back surgery this year. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to the doctor constantly, just like checkups and like follow-ups. And like, every time I would leave, I'd be like, did I do it all? Like, do I need to do anything before I leave? And they were always like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, sometimes they ask you to do something.
Yeah, I always do that. I literally just did that. I always have to stand there and wait for them. And they're like, you can go. Why are you still here?
They're like confused. They're like, did you lose something? Yeah. I'm like, my mind? I don't know. What's supposed to be happening at this point in the transaction?
Yeah, what hell we live in. Anyway.
Truly, absolute hell.
So your podcast, you co-host this.
Yes.
And it's called Ruined. For people who don't know, give us the lowdown.
I co-host it with the wonderfully funny, very good friend of mine, Hallie Kiefer, great writer, great comic, just so funny. She is a horror movie obsessive. That's her favorite genre. That's all she watches. She just loves horror. Rarely is there a movie where I'm like, oh, have you seen that? That she's like, no. So she sees everything. I don't like horror movies. Mm-hmm. If you could not tell from everything we've talked about, I am easily scared and anxious about everything.
Yes,
and
same.
I'm I'm a rom-com queen. Mm-hmm. Like, I like a studio comedy. Like, I don't like scary movies at all. But like, because of this relationship, like, she always wants to tell people about what happened in a movie that, like, they'll be like, no, I'm going to see it. Don't tell me. And I'm like, you could tell me. I'm never going to see it. Tell me exactly what happened in the movie. And so, like, we had been doing that just in our friendship.
Uh-huh.
Whenever we would, like, hang out or, like, over GChat often, we're, like, the last two people still on GChat. But I'm like, I love it. I stand by it. I am not platform agnostic, I guess. Like, once I find something I like, I'm like, I'm sticking here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have TikTok. I'm not going to get it.
Yeah.
It's so confusing. So like we did this in our life and like we feel everybody kind of falls into either like a horror lover or a scaredy cat. Mm-hmm. Like most people are one or the other. Like very few people are like neutral on the concept of a scary movie. And so like the premise of the podcast is like each episode she walks me through everything that happens in a different scary movie and like we play little games like trying to like guess what the twist is going to be and like betting on who will survive and like all that stuff. So it's like fun. If you love horror movies, Hallie is like a student of the genre and like loves and respects them so much and is such a good storyteller. But if you don't like them, you can listen to the podcast instead of reading the Wikipedia entry, which I and most people, I think, do.
Yeah, that is a much more enjoyable way of getting it. Because whenever I see a movie that I'm like, everybody is talking about this. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what's going on, but I can never bring myself to read the Wikipedia page.
It's really hard to read a Wikipedia entry about a movie or a TV show because they're not written like, it's not written by a critic or like somebody who wrote the show. Like it's written by somebody who watched it once. So it's like it's hard to be like, wait, who, then what happened? And like, wait, who's that person? Like they're just like not as thoroughly put together as you would want it to be like, right. I'm like, I just wanted to find out like what the crazy twist is in this movie that everybody's talking about is.
Yeah.
And like, it's sometimes hard to get to, but on Ruined, like it's very, like we're here to tell you the things you want to know.
Right. I didn't even think about, by the way, the process of someone writing a Wikipedia plot summary of a movie that like just came out.
Yeah. I'm like, did they just read a summary and then like extrapolate? Like it sometimes, like I've read a few where I'm like, I had no idea what happened at this.
Yeah. The idea of being able to recall like 2 hours of something I just watched well enough to like put it in order.
Yeah. No, that's not for me. I don't remember like what I did before we started this podcast. I was like, what was I doing earlier?
Yeah. No, so, absolutely. No,
I couldn't recall that information.
Well, since we're getting near the end, you also are still doing a live show, correct? You're still kind of getting up and performing your 1 hour show.
Oh, yeah. I'm a stand up and I have an hour I do called Oh God, an hour about abortion.
Love it.
Which is a tongue in cheek reference to like who could possibly want to hear an hour of jokes about abortion. But it is a weirdly light and fun touch to a story about what it's like to have one, which is weirdly important right now.
Yeah.
I started it before, you know, it was before Texas was when I started writing and performing it. But like now I'm just like, let's draw attention to what a nightmare this country is becoming.
Yeah.
And just kind of walk people through like some of the interesting elements of having an abortion, but also like just kind of what it's like to be a woman and grapple with the concept of motherhood. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, that's something that we don't talk about as earnestly in the same way that we need to be honest with ourselves about the fact that we don't read. I think that like we need to be more outspoken with like how we all feel about parenthood, because then, you know, there's kind of one narrative for what it is, and there's many ways that you can be or not be parents. And so it's kind of talks a lot about that too.
Right.
It's very fun. So it's weirdly fun.
It covers a lot of ground.
A lot of ground. It is a whole hour, so it's, you know, lots to fill. That's like 6 books.
Right. Yeah. Go see your show and it'll basically be like you've read a whole bunch.
Oh yeah. It's like yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. it's you can add at least 6 or 7 books to your Goodreads total for the end of the year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I do think, yeah, obviously, I have not had an abortion myself yet, but you never know.
Yeah, again.
And but it is related to what we were talking about earlier, which is like already going to any doctor is the most obnoxious thing imaginable. Yes. And there's so many steps and there's so much you have to think about and worry about. And the fact that we're adding obstacles and layers and fear to it is insane.
Unnecessary. And in reality, the experience is like very manageable. And there's like moments where you're like, this is how we do this? This is so stupid and crazy. Like there's just like those moments, which is like fun to recognize. Like it's not all trauma and tragedy. There's like the hilarity of going to a dentist's office is like, and the things that can happen there are absolutely kind of there's some parallels.
Right, right. Yeah.
So like just like the nightmare of like moving through the healthcare industry in this country is right. Backwards.
Well, we're just about out of time. So where can people find you in your work?
You can follow me personally, at Allison Leiby on Twitter and Instagram. I don't have any other social media platforms. It's just those two. So don't try and find me on others, cause you won't. And if somebody's being me on TikTok, I hope they're doing well. And then I post like whatever, like shows I'm doing around town and stuff like that. And then you can follow Ruined, the podcast, at Ruined Podcast on Twitter and Instagram as well. You can get it wherever you get podcasts.
Amazing. Well, I hope everyone goes and checks out everything. And thank you so much. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that help all the bad shit go down easier, starting with Do Better White People, where we highlight some anti-racism resources and other actions we can take to make our world a little bit better. This week, we're highlighting Trans Santa. I believe we highlighted it last year around the same time. It's the holiday season. There are a lot of people in need who might not get the opportunity to exchange gifts, to receive gifts, and Trans Santa is a great community organization that delivers gifts to trans youth safely and anonymously. So they take submissions until December 20th. We can put the link in our show notes so that you can look that up and perhaps contribute. Don't give gifts to your shitty family members. They're not going to be grateful, as we've already established in this episode. Give gifts to people who actually need them and will appreciate them.
Yeah.
Or both.
Apologies if you can hear the leaf blower outside. That is the person who leaf blowers on our sidewalk, not once, not twice, but 3 times a day. That's correct. Morning, noon, and night. Rain or shine. That's correct. Rain or shine, they will blow the leaves. So I am sorry if you can hear that on mic. If you can't, that is great for you. I can hear it every single fucking day. So that's a great way to bring that energy into the end of this episode.
Good. Just in time for the upbeat chaser portion.
It's okay. These are the things that help me calm down from the very real annoyance that is happening.
Good. What TV have you been watching this week?
I have been watching the second season of The Great. It's on Hulu. The whole second season came out at once. I'm pretty sure I brought it up a couple weeks ago. I love the show. I really do. It's just fun and ridiculous. And it's also made me want to like read Catherine the Great biographies. Mm-hmm. Listeners, if you've got any recs, shout them out.
Yeah. Any scholars in the audience?
So that is what I have been watching. What about you?
I gasped because I forgot that was back. I'm excited to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm due for a new show. I just finished. I was watching while I've been home the 3rd season of You on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's been out for a couple months now.
It has.
But I didn't get around to it. It is so good. It is so ridiculous. But in particular, I think her name is Shalita Grant. She was the lawyer in Search Party who was like, Your Honor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She's in it?
She is in it. She plays this like mommy blogger who is all up in their business.
There are like all of these shows that like either I watched one season of or I'm like always on the cusp of, but I just need like one thing to push me over. And that was the casting that I needed to hear to push me over. Absolutely going to watch that season.
Yeah, she is so good. I love her. So yeah, that's what I've been watching. And I finished it, so I need something else. What's your non-TV chaser?
My non-TV chaser. We are recording this the day that Spotify Wrapped was released. Mm-hmm. And I've been bracing myself because I knew what it was going to be. But then seeing it, there it was. My top five songs are all just songs off of a single album. And that is Punisher by Phoebe Bridgers, because the way that my OCD manifests is that I... can only listen to one thing over and over and over again before moving on to the next thing. And that's how that works in my old brain. So it is fun to see that and to learn that I am in the top 1% of Phoebe Bridgers listeners.
Good.
So, you know, and also I listen to her on Bandcamp as well. So I am deeply unwell, but I also love it. But the real chaser here is seeing everyone else's Spotify rap where Unhappy Hour is their top podcast. It makes me so happy to just see that and know that you've been spending all this time with us. It's so fun. It's so fun to do this show every week, even though I'm glad we're taking a little bit of a break for the holidays. And it just brings me so much joy. So that is my chaser for the week. What about you?
Same. When Spotify Wrapped came out, I was like, oh, God, here we go. Everyone, this is going to be the entire timeline today. It's just everybody sharing their Spotify's. But then I remembered that, yeah, people always share Unhappy Hour,
yeah,
which is great. And I love that. Shockingly, I think my top artist was Chloe and Halle, probably from the top of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like Olivia Rodrigo. It was all over.
Yeah.
Harry Styles, obviously. That would be my other chaser, which is I was perhaps a bit chagrined when I did not see a pleasing box in my mailbox. Yeah. For those of you who are all fake fans and don't know, Harry released a beauty line.
A company.
I guess.
He started a company.
Yeah. So it's like nail polish and like skincare and stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's called Pleasing. And they sent out boxes. And I was like, why the fuck didn't I get a box? And then it turns out it went to the wrong address. It went to an old address. And so I'm very excited. It is waiting for me back at my apartment. Ooh. And obviously I'll post a pic.
I can't wait. Christmas came early.
So yeah, those are my chasers.
Love it.
And that's it for today's show. So thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. If you want more Unhappy Hour shit, and obviously you do, you can head to my Patreon where you'll get video of bonus Worst Things First stories, video of extended guest complainer interviews, and an entire separate podcast feed of all of the bonus stuff every single week. So it's like a second day of Unhappy Hour that you get right in your podcast feed. You can also buy merch at unhappyhourshop.com. And as always, head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audacy, that's AUDACY, wherever you get podcasts. Follow us, rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Studios. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, Arlene Revelo, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jen Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Honsdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. You can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter and Unhappy Hour on Instagram for all the latest podcast buzz. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail on our rant hotline at 601-600-RANT. That's 601-600-7268. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Yes. Perfect.
Know. Oh, I would love if I have my booster with the side of meatballs.
I did get dumplings after getting my booster, but you know, not the same.
No, it's not the same at all. For you to even bring that up in the same sentence is despicable.